Okay, so we need. Everybody can hear me fine and everything? We're still good? Awesome. Good. Feel free to unmute if you prefer. That would be fine as well. You kind of want to comment or give a big amen or something like that. That's up to you. But feel free to also stay muted if you're going to be comfortable. And yeah, don't walk over that cord, okay? You go around the other way. Thank you. So as you know, I forgot to bring my change of things, so I will just let you know, Sam, all right?
Yeah.
We'll go to the next slide there. But so we, as you know, we are in the Living as a New Life Church message series, and we're going through Colossians. It's a journey through Colossians, and from what we've been studying and looking at in Colossians, we've seen that Paul is telling the Colossian church, and he's urging them and saying, you know, you're individually called to new life, but he's also writing to them as a group. And so it means that we're called to live the new life in community as a body of believers. And next slide there, Sam. It's as we do that, I mean, Paul is urging them. He's urging them to get it right, to do it well, you know, to live the new life in a way that shows that you're, when you put on the new life, that we're growing, we're maturing in our understanding of Christ and who he is, and that we are. And in verse 9 and 10, it talks about that renewal process, being renewed to the image of our Creator. That's what it means to put on the new life. And we see that is done well in the context of communities, as a church, as the body of believers. And so when we do that, and I believe that growth and maturity, it does take place in the context of community. And so as we look at Colossians, as we are going through this first chapter, I believe for us as a new church, as we're studying Colossians and reading how Paul encouraged and challenged and instructed the Colossian church, this is going to be, I just have found it very helpful for us as we just develop as a new life church, and as we desire to live as a new life church, and for us to say, this is what we need to be about as well, putting on the new life and then being together as a community of body believers that are helping others live the new life well also. So we'll go to the next slide there. So as we looked at this, which we've been looking at chapter 1, the first message, if you remember, it was Paul introducing himself. He was talking about his calling, who he is and his calling, the calling to salvation and our calling to live the new life. And so that was, we talked about our calling to salvation and calling to live the new life as well. And the next, we got into that first main section of living as a new life church. And Paul, he commends the Colossian church. And we had four different messages in that. And the first one was, he commended the church for having the three essentials in the new life journey. And do you guys, we'll keep going there, Sam, as I mentioned the different messages. Yeah. Do you guys remember the three essentials in the order that Paul mentioned them? Anybody?
Faith, love, and hope.
Faith, love, and hope. And faith and love, he says that those are the result. Was a result of the hope that we have in Christ and the gospel that was preached to them. And that is the second message. The second message that we looked at, he's commending them for receiving the gospel message. I thank God, saying thank you for you receiving the gospel message. And we looked at the gospel message and we saw that it is a living message. That is the three R's there, is received, it's revealed, and it's released. And then Asher, after that, what's the other R?
Repeat.
Yeah, so I remember Asher called that out a few times. So he remembers that. And then he commends them also. He's commending Epaphras to them, right? He's saying he's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. And so just as Epaphras was a faithful minister of Christ, we are called to be faithful ministers of Christ. And I was thanking God for each and every one of you as faithful ministers of Christ, ministering in this way with this church. And then lastly, what Jeremy shared on February 2nd, he commended the church for having love in the Spirit. And Jeremy, he asked the question, what is love? And he said, you referenced a song, Jeremy, right? Remember?
I don't have any recollection of that.
You did. I heard it. What was it again? What's love? God, that was the one you're thinking, right? Yeah.
There it is.
But I was thinking of a different song. It's like, you know, that one that goes, what is love? Baby, that was one I would have chose, so you're off by a bit.
I was thinking about that during the week, and I thought that might, because that's like Night at the Roxbury or something like that.
The exact words. So I was a bit disappointed that you didn't like totally get into my headspace and call it perfectly, but anyways, you're forgiven. But that wasn't the important part of Jeremy's message. Here's the important part of what Jeremy was sharing. So that last verse, verse 8 in Colossians 1, your love in the Spirit, you know, he talks about your love in the Spirit. And Jeremy, he talked about what is the source of love. Well, it's God is the source of love. Love means different things in the English language, but God, he's the one that when we call him Abba Father, he's our Abba Father. He's the source of love, and it's Spirit driven. And love, there also needs to be evidence that we truly do have the love of God in our lives. And so the evidence of love is an action. And so when there's action taking place, when we're actually living as people that have love in the Spirit, it means that we're loving others, that there is action. And then the goal, what is the goal of love? Well, the goal of love is to reflect God to the world, reflect his love to others. And so that's what I got from the message that Jeremy is sharing. I just really appreciate just looking at that. And those are all things that Paul is commending the Colossian church for. And so next, Sam, as we go into this second section, it's verses 9 to 14. So Paul, he's saying, thank God for all of these things that we're seeing in you as a church already. And then he also says, but this is what I desire to see in you. You're here, but you need to be moving towards this. And so this section is Paul's desire for the Colossian church. And we need to ask the question, what is Paul's desire for the church? What is Paul's desire for the church? And well, when we ask that question, I want us to know, he wants them to reach a goal. He wants them to move towards that kind of beginning stages of their faith. And that's where they were, and that's where they needed to be. But he wants them to move towards the goal. And so today, we want to look at what is the goal for all New Life Christ followers. And we should know that goal. We need to know the goal for all New Life Christ followers. And so that's verse 9 that we're looking at this week. I put in next week there, but that's because we were going to have the second message today, and that didn't happen. So we'll have to get to that later on. And that the second part of this is that they're to know the purpose and the results of achieving that goal. When you achieve the goal of that, where we should be as Christ followers, what are the results going to be? And so let's get right into the scripture. If you're in Colossians, we're going to be reading verses 9 to 14. Colossians 1, 9 to 14. This is what it says. I will read aloud. You can follow along. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience and joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Well, let's pray together and thank God for his word. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for how you speak to us through your word. And as I've already prayed this morning, Lord, I pray that you open up our hearts to receive from you. Lord, open up our minds to receive your word and our ears, that we would hear truly what you have to say to us through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so as we look at this entire, most Bibles, they kind of don't put a heading at verse 9. They lump verses 3 to 14 all together. But I think it truly is two progressions of thought. There are two progressions of thought in these verses. And there's actually a lot of parallels. If we go to the next slide there, Sam. If you take a look, if you've got your Bibles open, if you look at verses 3 and 4 and verse 9, it's really interesting what Paul does here. So I've highlighted different things there. You can say that, you can see that he's saying, when we pray for you, he's saying, listen, both verses 3 and 9, he's saying, we've been praying for you. And ever since we heard, right, since we heard, or verse 9, from the day that we heard, right, I have been praying for you, interceding. And the first reason why I'm praying for you is because we're thanking God. We're always thanking God. You love his language, right? It's like, always, I'm always thanking God. It's like, well, really, Paul? Like, all the time, always? But that's what he thinks about when he thinks about the Colossian church, is that I'm thanking God for them. But he also then goes into, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that. So asking that, as in, there's a time, we're praising God for where you are at. As a new life church, Colossian church, this is excellent. It's awesome. Kudos to you. Praise God. We're thanking God for that ever since we heard of it. And then secondly, he's like, okay, it's time to level up now. It's time to move forward. This is what you need to be working towards, where you need to be, where you need to arrive. And so he's you look at this progression of thought, right? He's moving from thanking God to saying, okay, now level up, guys. It's time to move forward in what God has for you. Move towards that goal of all new believers. And so we've got to answer that question today. What is our goal as new life Christ followers? What are we working towards? And so here's the big idea for the message today. Big idea is that the goal as new life Christ followers is to know God's will. And the goal as a new life church, I believe, and this is what Paul joined together with Epaphras and Timothy and working with the Colossian church, the goal as a new life church is to help Christ followers discover God's will. And I left something out there, and to live it out, not just to know his will, but to empower people to be a body of Christ that helps others live out God's will. So really, like we could end the message there. Just be like, done. Simple. That is what we need to be working towards as new life Christ followers. But there's another question. There's another question that we need to answer, and that is, what is God's will? What is God's will? Sometimes it seems kind of ambiguous, where it's like, what is God's will for my life? Well, I do truly believe that there is a general sense of God's will for us, that we should all know these kind of general things. And then there's also specific things that he speaks into our life. Like, God, I truly believe that this is your will for my life. And the thing is that even those specific things are connected to these general or bigger things that I'll be mentioning today. So I've got a couple definitions up here to answer that question. What is God's will? Well, I've got a big I should have brought it out. I got a big, giant, systematic theology book by Wayne Grudem. Excellent, excellent stuff in there. And so this is what Wayne Grudem says about God's will. And so God's will is the attribute of God whereby he approves and determines to bring about every action necessary for the existence and activity of himself and all creation. And everyone says, right? It's like, whoa, that, like, chew on that for a few days or like a whole 2 weeks, since we didn't have the message last week. I've been chewing on that and being like, that's pretty intense. Like, if you read through that, I'm not even going to try to break that down, okay? That one could be something that you chew on for the next few weeks as well. The Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary, it gives a much simpler definition of what, when we say, what is God's will? What is his will? Well, it's God's plan and purpose for his creation and for each individual. And so as I look at those, as I look at and ponder, like, what, you know, what truly is God's will? I think both of those definitions are super, super helpful for us. But going into God's word is also very, very helpful for us as we look at different verses. So next, we'll go to the next one there, Sam. When we look at, we talk about God's will means that he has a plan set out for all creation, including ourselves. And that includes ourselves for our lives as well. And Romans 12, verse 2, it says that God's will is good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. And Ephesians 5, 17, it says that, it's in there, it says this. It says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That means that God's will can be understood. We can truly understand his will. And the amazing thing about what we got next there in the points is that we're a part of that plan, right? There's a plan. God's will means that he has a plan set out for creation and for our lives. And part of that will, a part of that plan is that we get to be a part of it. God's will is for people to be reconciled back to right relationship with him, and that we get to be a part of that plan of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 should be a very, very familiar verse to all of us. It says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's the good news. That's the gospel message. And then this is the wonderful part of the purpose and the hope that we have. And just the, what's the word I'm trying to say? This gives us reason and purpose for life and for living because we get to be a part of that plan. Verse 18, it says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. And what did he do? He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is Christ, God, that is in Christ. God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And then, this is amazing, he entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And so we can see that God has a wonderful plan for all of creation, for our lives, and it is his will, it is his desire for us to be a part of that plan, to be ambassadors. He's entrusted that message to us. And lastly, I think that's last what I've got there, and the points I'm going to leave it there, Sam. The last point is, it's God's will for us to live holy lives. Right living equals right relationship with God. So if we ever say, oh, well, what is God's will for my life? Well, God's will is that he has a wonderful plan for creation as a whole. Those are kind of general, like a general sense of God's will. It's his will for my life to be a part of that plan of reconciliation. And specifically for my life, it's God's will for me to live a holy life. To be, we're brought into right relationship with him, but it's also his will for us to experience the goodness of being in right relationship with him. And that means living a holy life. 1 Peter 2:15, it says this: for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-7, very, very clear what the will of God is for our lives individually. This is the will of God, your sanctification. And then verse 7, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. But when I reflect on this, the mantra that we have created as a church, as New Life, Highlands New Life Community Church, what has it been, right? It's been, Lord, help me to be more like Jesus today than I was yesterday. Listen, that is God's will. That is what it means to be pursuing holiness. This is God's will for our lives, to be holy. So if we know in a general sense and even specifically what God's will is for our lives, the next question is, how do we, and don't go yet, Sam, I want some audience participation here. If the first question is, what is God's will? You've got to fill in three blanks. What would another question be? After we've talked about, okay, this is God's will, but then how do we blank, blank, blank? Anybody?
Wait, what was the question?
What would another question be after we answer that first question is, you know, what is God's will? But another question comes to mind for me, and it is, how do we blank, blank, blank. Anybody?
Do his will?
Do his will. That's good. That's a good word. And that's very, like, that's almost spot on of what. So the last two words is God's will. Anybody from Leo Caprina side there, what would the word be? You guys got anything?
Fulfill God's will.
Say again?
Fulfill God's will.
Fulfill God's will. That's wonderful. Yeah. Fulfill God's will. The word I was looking for was know God's will, right? Like, how do we know his will for us? But actually, you know what? I like those words better. Do God's will, fulfill God's will. Because one of the other things I was thinking was, how do we align ourselves with God's will, right? Like, if we know his will for us, if we know his will for all creation, if we know his will for us individually, that it's to live holy lives. And I mean, that all boils down to very specific things, right? And the choices that we make each and every day, or you know, being a part of this body of believers, this church, you know, that it's that God's will for my life, or you know, reaching out to different things that I'm to do. How do we align ourselves with God's will? How do we do God's will? How do we fulfill God's will? That's the next question that I want us to answer today. And as we, if you look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, very simply, we need to pray, right? Paul is saying, I have not ceased praying for you that you would know God's will. My question is, do you think we should pray for discovering God's will and his leading and guiding our lives? Should we be praying as well? Of course we should be praying. Second, in order to know God's will, we need to be renewed to the image of God, our Creator. Colossians 3:10. We should know this verse very well by now. It says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. The more we become like God, the more that we know his will and his desire for our lives. We're in that renewal process. We're learning what it means to be restored back to the image of God that he created us in way back in the garden. And then lastly, or second last there is, become less like the world and more like Jesus. It's growing in holiness. When we become more holy, when we fulfill that aspect of God's will in living holy lives. You know, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And this is the part here, right? That by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So the way to know his will, to live out his will, the way to discern God's will is when we are transformed from conformity to the world and then moving into the process of being renewed, the renewal of our mind and us being shaped and conformed to Christ-likeness. Again, more like Jesus every day. And then lastly, when we grow in maturity in our faith, Colossians 4, verse 12, this is Paul. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, he greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stay stagnant and not grow, that we kind of stay at that stage of you know, just freshly receiving the gospel message. No, he says, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Epaphras is praying for them. He's praying for them that they would become mature so that they would then be fully assured of God's will in their lives. We become sure of God's will when we're consistently maturing in our knowledge and understanding of our faith. There's just one more thing that I want to touch on before we wrap up the message this morning. When Jeremy shared the message about, you know, Paul commending and being thankful for the Colossian church's love in the Spirit, it was great that Jeremy focused in on the Spirit and how the Spirit enables them. It comes from the love that we have for others, the love that we live out in our lives each and every day. It truly is God-given. It comes from the Spirit. It's been given to us. And then we look at this. We look at verse 9. It says that we are to be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all what? It's that word again, right? In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And this really means that this wisdom and understanding of God and what he desires for all of creation, not just all of creation, but for our lives as well. It's the Spirit that reveals that to us. And I think that this is so, so important for us to understand and grasp. Because I think about worldly wisdom and understanding as well, right? Like there's a lot of people that are very wise in the decisions that they make, or, you know, business-wise, it's like their business dealings and stuff like that. It's like, man, they are just a very wise person, right? They have understanding about certain topics. And the issue with that is that even those false teachers that were trying to infiltrate this Colossian church, well, they were very wise in their own eyes, right? They were wise in a sense. And you think about churches and what truly our goal is to know God's will and then to help others to know God's will and fulfill it. Like that word comes up again, Caprina, to fulfill God's will and live it out. We can't just be people that are wise or have wisdom and understanding, because listen, even people in this cozy Canadian culture, they have wisdom. They have understanding about certain things. And they would probably ask the question, what can Christianity give me that I don't already have, right? Like we're good. I have enough understanding about what I need to do to be successful in this life. But there is a difference. Nothing compares to knowing God's will and that being revealed through the Spirit in our lives. And I want to go back to Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 again, where it says that we are to present, we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And then Paul, he calls this the spiritual act of worship. And so when we do that, you think of it as a spiritual act of worship. In order to gain the spiritual wisdom and understanding, we are giving of ourselves. We're sacrificing our own understanding, our own worldly understanding, who we are. We give that up and we sacrifice and we say, this is our spiritual act of worship, that we are allowing the Holy Spirit to be the one who truly give us wisdom, to give us wisdom and understanding. We are allowing the Spirit to do that. We present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. We're handing over and giving ourselves to God completely. And then it says in the verses there that by testing, we will know God's will. And the Spirit working within us, it aligns us with God's will. We don't grow in our knowledge and understanding of God and his perfect plan for all creation, including ourselves, on our own strength and on our own understanding. We understand God's will. I think of the next one there. We understand God's will. Actually, it goes back to the other one, Sam. We understand God's will when we give ourselves over the Spirit who reveals his truth to us. And we're no longer conformed to the world, but we're transformed through the renewal process that the Spirit is doing within us. The same way that the Spirit has drawn us to Christ and brought us to salvation, he's also revealing God's will to us. In John 16:8, it's Jesus talking about here, and he's saying how he's going to be leaving. He's going to be leaving the disciples, but he's saying, don't worry. Don't worry, because the Spirit is coming. The Spirit is coming, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And that's the salvation aspect of what the Spirit does in our lives and in this world and in people's lives. And then John 16:13, it says, and he, the Spirit, will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So how do we know God's will? How do we align with God's will? How do we get to that point of saying, I need to and I desire to fulfill God's will? Well, it's through the Spirit. It's through the Spirit's renewal process, from being conformed to the ways of sin and this world to being Christ-like. And again, that Colossians 3:10 comes to mind, where we are being renewed back to the image of our Creator. And so when we see that this is, you know, this is what God's will is, and this is how we know God's will, we can truly, as we've read in our verse today, Colossians 1:9, we can be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. This is Paul's longing. This is Paul's biggest prayer for the Colossian church. And I want to go to the big idea again that I mentioned earlier. The big idea is that the goal as New Life Christ followers is to know God's will. This truly is a process of consistently learning to be more like Jesus today than we were yesterday. Renewal and transformation by the Spirit. And then the goal of a new life living church is to help Christ followers discover God's will and to fulfill it and to live for it, to do his will. Paul, he's writing this whole letter to the Colossian church to accomplish this, for them to move towards this goal. And we as a church community, as we read through Colossians, we're on this journey together as well. And I just want to read our mission statement. My apologies, I didn't put it up there, which I wish I... But the mission statement that we have come up with and developed is this. It says, we exist to build up one another through authentic relationships, Spirit-led worship, and intentional discipleship, and growth so we can more fully love God, experience his audacious love, and love others, inviting our neighbors to join us on the adventure of living the new life identity, being more like Jesus every day. I love that. And I love how it's tracking completely with what Paul is speaking to the Colossian church as well. And if we go back to that, the progression of what we've been reading through here in Colossians, in chapter one here, I just love it because it explains what we have been working on for the past 1+ months, almost 2 months, with working through our DNA document and foundational statements. And this is what I see. If you've got your Bibles open, look at Colossians chapter 1 again. We don't just want to produce. We don't just want to produce verse 3-8 Christians. Okay? Do you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm getting at here? Does that make sense? We don't only want to produce verse 3-8 Christians. We don't, you know, verse 3-8 Christians are this. They're people that hear the message of the gospel, they receive it. They gain hope, and then as a result of that hope, they have faith and love. But if they just stay there and they're not moving forward towards the goal of what Paul has, then they only have that amount of faith and that amount of love for a season. They have it until a difficult season comes, or they're deceived by the world, whether it's false teachers or just false hope that's given by the world. But verse 9 Christians is what we want to be producing at Highlands New Life Community Church. We want to be producing next level Christians that are growing in their faith. We're producing Christians that move to a level of maturity, that they know God's will and they live it out. And they know God's will because we as a church, that we've made space for the Spirit to be revealing wisdom and understanding. And so this verse 9, it truly reveals the direction that we need to be on as a church. This entire portion of scripture, verses 3-14, it truly reveals the direction that we need to be on as a church. Verse 4, we share the message of hope. Absolutely. People come to faith in Jesus or they re-encounter him and they begin to live in the love. They begin to live in the love of the Spirit. They're doing that. And then verse 9, we move towards that, move to the next level. We ensure, you know, as Paul says, of not ceasing to pray that this would happen, as Paul puts it, right? We ensure that they're discipled in their faith. People gain a solid foundation. They know what God wants for their lives. They have the knowledge of his will. And through wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, because they are truly on a journey of renewal, they're being transformed back to the image of their Creator. They're becoming more like Jesus every day. And so, church, as I reflect on this portion of Scripture in Colossians 1, I just see this is where we need to be as individuals, obviously, that we're growing in our faith, we're maturing, that we know the goal as New Life believers, but then as a church body, that we know what we are to be producing, what we are to be working towards in helping people grow in their faith and their New Life relationship with God. So this morning, I want to throw the question out there. As we wrap up the message and go into a bit of discussion time, you can give your comments here. But I want to ask a question as well. How do we do both of these things as Highlands New Life Community Church? What are the things that we need to establish? We've been talking about this a little bit, and I think that there's going to be things that come out in our discussion that we've already been saying, we've already been talking about. But I do want to throw it out there. What are we to do to be, yes, sharing the message of hope, but also helping people gain a solid foundation in their faith, knowing God's will and moving forward in that? So what are the things we need to be doing as a church? Go ahead, unmute your mics and Let's have a bit of discussion, guys. Or comments, offer us a message. Move away so that it's not picking you up there, okay?
You had the thing, like, they had the thing where it does.
Anything, guys, as far as comments?
Did you ask anything?
Yeah. How do we do this as a New Life Church? Sharing the message of hope with people, and then ensuring that we don't just say as verse four church that shares the message of hope, but that we're ensuring that people are discipled in their faith, that they're growing. We're making space for people to grow in their faith as well. And I believe that I've alluded to some of this in when we were together on January 26th as well. But yeah, just want to get your perspective as well too, that how do we ensure we do this next step well as also, but also not leave out the first step of sharing the hope of Christ.
Need to help new Christ followers discover God's will for them.
Okay. Right. Asherhead, we need to help new Christ followers discover God's will for them.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's good. Yeah. Thanks, bud.
I think that, like, the Sunday school answer is appropriate now. Like, read the Bible and pray, I think, are probably the two most critical components to that. In heavy doses. So praying
to the Bible.
So praying together and truly seeking God's will, and also reading the Bible together, and teaching each other how to read the Bible even.
That's good.
Yes. And I think also as we read in the book of James, where he says that faith without works is dead, and walking that faith in our day-to-day before people who may not know Christ, and that our actions may show what we believe and who we believe, just through love. That's also... I'm also reminded of this scripture where, I can't recall where it is, but it says that, again, pertaining to, you know, knowing what is the will of God. And he says, this is the will of God, and that is to believe in the one whom he has sent. Which means then it's also wanting to know what it is, what it truly means to believe and walk in that belief. So as believers, then what should our lives look like? Is in alignment with the will of God.
That's good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We lost your video. Am I pulling too much bandwidth, or are you guys still there?
I can see them.
You good?
Yeah.
Okay. You good? Can you still hear us too? Can you hear us okay or no?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. All right. Guys, remember they can hear everything you're saying. Somebody's beatboxing over here. I just want to remind them that I think, you know, Leo, you're touching on the aspect where it's that the holy living, right? That people would see Christ in us. Well, I think our internet might be struggling a little bit. Are you guys?
We can hear you fine.
You can hear me fine. Perfect.
Yes.
What can we make? Can you just move the mic a bit here, Sammy, just in case it was picking up, just so that they can hear? I don't need anything changed right now, so Should be good. Okay. Are there things, what are some of the things? Okay, so Jeremy, I think what I'm looking for this morning is, what are the things that we're going to do practically as a church, especially during this season of, you know, we've talked about, okay, we're in a soft launch stage. We want to be recruiting, you know, kind of in a stage of recruitment, of seeing people join our group and fighting workers for the harvest field, if I can use kind of Christianese, it's scriptural. Finding workers for the harvest field, right? You know, so what are some of the practical things? Jeremy, you mentioned reading the Bible together, that we're growing in that sense. And then you mentioned praying together. I think those are two things, wonderful things that come from, that would be very helpful in us reaching others, right? Are there other practical things that we should be doing?
To Leo's point, like, we could be doing some practical acts of service, for lack of a better, like, so having some of that evidence for our love. We don't want to get too overwhelmed with that at this stage, like making it a big thing or a production, but I'm sure there's some practical ways that don't consume a ton of our time is okay, I guess, but just it doesn't overtip us, so that's all we're focused on. There might be some things to do like that, like serving at a food bank or
that's good.
Yeah, I'm also reminded of you know, like what Jeremy does, you know, what they have Bible study, homes to invite people to come and then share the word. That's also a great way to reach out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So.
Okay. I guess the this is excellent. It's very helpful. I think. Just as I was reflecting on this portion of scripture, I'm like, oh yeah, like this is amazing. We need to be doing these two things, you know, making sure that we're reaching out to people, but not staying there, but moving towards a point of us growing, you know, us now already doing these things, growing in our faith together, right? And so I appreciate these, and I think the goal for me today is to say, okay, how will we practically put some of these things into practice? And this is, yeah, I think it's good. I think something that we've talked about is that starting whether it's a discipleship program or having something already established, even just us as, let's call us together as a group, that we, when we begin to invite people into our church, into this space or whatever, that we have something established as a church, that we have a discipleship pathway developed. And so I'm excited that I have an opportunity to speak with somebody on Tuesday, that they have a discipleship pathway developed for their church. They're just outside of Sudbury. And so I'm excited to be able to talk to him and just kind of get some thoughts on how they're doing this. Just hearing from him and how it's working for them and what are some of the things that are challenges as well too. And so I don't know if there's, I know Jeremy, you had sent me a link as far as a discipleship, sort of a daily discipleship living program as well too, but I don't know if others have ideas of how we can start doing this well now as a church, as far as the discipleship aspect, the growing in our faith aspect. Definitely, you know, reading the Bible together, praying together. Are there other things that we could be doing together?
discipleship is such a broad term, so it's hard to kind of hone it in on specific, because it can be anything from alpha, which is like for early seekers who are asking the big questions of life, all the way to like what we talked about earlier a few weeks back, to the gifts of the Spirit, and just digging into like, what are those, what are mine, how do you use them? But there are also two different lends of that maturity, not ends of the maturity spectrum, but like, I think any type of discipleship that we do as a group like ourselves is probably going to be a little bit further away from the alpha side and closer to the bit more of the mature side.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so looking into different options as far as mature believers, you know, different things for mature believers, people that are looking to mature in their faith, and then also just having different aspects or different things that we can offer for those who are not mature in their faith. Is that kind of what I'm hearing, Jeremy?
Yeah, like I think I'm trying to reconcile it to the stage of the church plant. So right now we're trying to recruit assumedly mature Christians, not seekers or people that would be attracted to an alpha. Again, alpha is good for all maturity levels because it helps you think re-wrestle with some of those things. But as far as, so if we were to do some type of a discipleship program that was more targeted towards a more mature Christian, gifts of the Spirit or prayer, like how to do that more intentionally and more expectantly, things like that, that we could even invite potential, sounds like we're a cult, but potential recruits into those gatherings, and they don't have to necessarily stay, but it's a way for us to get to know each other, to build each other up, and then maybe they'll stick and stay.
It's good. Okay. I like that. Yeah.
Recruit does sound a little bit culty, so I got to figure out a different word than that.
Yeah. But we're there. Right? We grasp 100% what you're saying. Yeah. I'll call these maybe like a growth program. Seems kind of funny, but I think we would know, right? As far as this is what we mean. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll call them growth programs, whether it would be, you know, an alpha, right? Something, maybe spiritual gifts, study.
I don't know if there's any small versions, but again, we don't want to take on a massive academic undertaking. But if there were some short programs on like systematic theology, because that gives you, I think everybody can learn from that, regardless of where they're at in their journey. Because it's just trying to thread everything together for you. It's right on the cusp of like apologetics.
Yeah.
A biblical theology, but that's going really academic.
Right.
Yeah. How to read the Bible is one of the most practical things that I, and again, like, I have a bit more of a passion. We both have a bit more of a passion towards that because there's so many mature Christians and genuinely mature Christians that still have never really wrestled with and understand how to truly read the Bible in its context. Right. As what was that author actually saying to whom and why and what and how does it apply to me now? And how does it all weave together into a perfect narrative? Like there's a lot of angles to it versus flip and pray.
Yeah. Okay. Are you guys doing anything in... Sorry, guys. Always looking on my chin or something like that. Are you guys doing anything specific as far as like a how to read the Bible program? Something that you've enjoyed or that works?
I took a course on biblical theology. That definitely helped. The Simeon course meant for preaching definitely helps. Honestly, the Bible Project, just reading it, like reading a text together and then going through it with the Bible Project and just doing the deep dive stuff is often very helpful too.
It also have a thing on how to read the Bible.
They do have one on how to read the Bible. Like, it goes into, like, the different literary forms. It goes into a little bit of history. It kind of gives you the building blocks for how to at least open up to a chapter or a book of the Bible and go, oh, this is where it fits.
That's cool. That's good. Okay.
I don't know how this helps or not, but I think part of that, us learning like how to read the Bible, is also just understanding the Bible as an entire complete book and stop necessarily seeing it as just all these little pieces put together. It was somehow, I don't know if that was just you, or I don't remember how we really started that kind of look at it, but once you started to see the Bible better as a whole story and how it all fits together instead of just diving into sections deeply, then it became more clear kind of and how to read it as well, because then you started to see how everything fit together over the Old and New Testament.
Vaughn Roberts has, he actually has a study Bible, a course called God's Big Picture Book. He's an Australian guy.
He's UK.
Okay, he's UK. They all sound the same to me. Sorry, Grafina. But he goes through the Bible as a whole and then really showing some of the, it's more biblical theology in some of the common themes of kingdom, the kingdom play, like God's people, God's place, and under God's rule is ultimately the story of the Bible.
So great.
That's Vaughn Roberts. He's
Did I type that right? Vaughn Roberts?
V-A-U-G-H-N is how you spell his first name.
Makes way more sense, yeah.
Oh, your way is exactly how I'd spell it.
I can send you a photo of the book that he has.
It's around here somewhere.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have it. I can send you a photo.
I would give it an 8 out of 10. Like, the concepts are really good. It's a little bit boring at times, but that combined with Bible Project, you'd probably have a home run on just reading the Bible.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Anything else, guys? As far as what, maybe some stuff that you dove into before and what worked, and I guess I'm asking because I want to find something that works well for us in our context, right? And so, you know, what has been your experience? There's different things that are, there's one that I heard from Focus on the Family. Ray Vanderlaan, I guess it was. And it talks about, I don't know if he's like a geologist or archaeologist, maybe more like archaeologist, but he often does trips to the Holy Land and then talks about how scripture aligns with different things and stuff like that, and then how to live out, you know, how to live out the Bible every day. So that might be something to look into as well too, but I don't know if there's other things as well that you guys are either currently or have gone through and just thinking through. So
I'm trying to go back through my Rolodex. We've done a lot of marriage courses. That's probably not the best for the group as a whole. I don't know that Sam and Asher would care as much about that.
Maybe not.
Purpose driven back in the day, I remember doing a fairly, it was decent. It was a pretty good program on purpose driven life.
Right.
Georgetown, they encouraged one-on-one discipleship.
There was no direct, that was just like, pick a book.
Okay. So I think this is helpful as far as things to look into, and I've been looking into some, but...
So it just popped into my mind, the last year Bible Project... We obviously have a sway towards Tim Mackey and the Bible Project. We think what they do is pretty good. But last year, they focused on the Sermon on the Mount for the entire year. And there's, I don't know if they ever offered a direct course or a program or something like that, but you could easily piece one together from all of the material that they produced. But there's a lot of obviously there's a lot of fruit in the Sermon on the Mount, but there's like just even going through like a study on the Sermon on the Mount, I think could have a lot of good good implications.
Yeah.
There's a lot to unwrap there. Like, they took a year and they needed to take a year.
Well,
not that we need to take a year. Pro tip, don't start a Bible study on the Old Testament without any structure with all your neighbors and take over 2 years to do it. Probably not the best place for us to start.
Yeah.
They keep coming, so.
They do keep coming and multiplying, but.
Okay. Definitely some good ones to look into. I don't know if there's any other comments, different studies, or topics of interest right now.
From the non-Pentecostals coming into a Pentecostal circle, that whole thing, like just more of the like the spirit, and if there's any. I'm sure there's got to be some on some Pentecostal shelves, probably on the behind your desk at the church.
Definitely could be, yeah.
Like just some of that deeper understanding, because that would definitely be a blind spot for myself, probably Suzanne a little bit less or so, of because I don't know, the Baptist circles, it's not rejected, but it's certainly not communicated and taught very often, as in like just the relationship with the Holy Spirit and at a way that's more than just colloquial or what who you pray through.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Good. Well, I guess as far as there's a lot to look into here. And what direction we could take. Practically as well, you know, as a new church, as a church plant, you know, the question is, where do we go from here? You know, we had that meeting on the 26th saying, you know, this is kind of the DNA and how we need to move forward, and had a bit of a timeline that we put together, which I can pull up here. My computer's working really hard with everything going on.
Do you want me to still record this, Greg?
No, I think we can stop recording.